in continuation of discussing the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. So the Maharal, in his Pirush HaNovis on the Mishnah that we mentioned last night, Ma ben Talmidav Shal Avraham Avinu, ben Talmidav Shal Bilam HaRasha. So the Maharal draws amazing parallels between the story of the Akedah and the story that we read about in this week's Parsha. It starts Vayashkem Avram Baboker. It's also Vayashkem Bilam Baboker. And Chazal Darshan almost a parallel drasha in either case, that Avram Mekalkelsis Ashura, Avram out of his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, got up even, you know, uncustomarily early. And the same thing by Bilam, you know, Lahavdil Asinam Mekalkelsis Ashura. And he also got up uncustomarily early because he was very eager to go earn the money. They both ride on donkeys, right? Right, except by Avraham Avinu, right? So he's on the chamor. By Bilam, it's an aton, right? A female donkey, and they both have accompanying lads. So says the Maharal, amazing thing that the journey to their respective destinations represent, you know, what is their relationship to physicality and what is their relationship to their own bodies, right? A chamor, says the Maharal, is milashon chomer. The chamor is also, aside from the animal, it also is a metaphor for physicality. It's virtually the same word, chamor and chomer. Except Avraham Avinu was riding a chamor, right? A male donkey. And, you know, until the Supreme Court ruling of last week, it was understood that, you know, male and male is not a real chibur, right? It's only between a zachar and an akeva, right? Whereas Bilam rides an aton, right? It's a female donkey, as is, he considers it like his, you know, like his mate. That means he's very into his Gashmias. And when Avraham Avinu reaches and he sees Har Moriah from a distance, so he says, Shvu lachem po ima chamor, vani vanar nelcha ad ko. Right? He leaves the donkey and his two lads behind. What's the pshat? So explains the Maharal like this. When he reaches the, you know, the where it's the Akedah now is becoming lemaisa, not theoretical. He sees where it's going to be, now it's real. It's not theory anymore. So at this point, you know, this demanding from a man to kill his own son means he has to part with physicality, but not just part with his, you know, love of the physical, which is, you know, leaving the chamor behind, but even has to be misgaber over the teva of a father who loves his son. And kayadua, there are two major forces, right, that we have in our constitution. We have our chasadim, all forms of kindness, and we have our gvuras, all forms of gvura and might, you know, as they say, tough love, right? So he has to part with all of that, right, in order to go through with the akedah. So he leaves, you know, leaving the chamor behind, is leaving behind the physicality, leaving the shnei na'orim behind, is even to leave behind the teva and the kochos that course through his guf, the kochos that course through his psyche. He has to leave that all behind. So it comes out that he's pure seichel, he's pure intellect that is just focused on the truth of doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants with going through the akedah. Whereas Bilam, on his way to, you know, meet Balak, so it comes out that, you know, the scandal that there was between him and his donkey sort of comes out in course of the story. That if, even if we understand that allegorically, it means that his whole goal in going to Balak was to earn money. So even though, like we said yesterday, he always says, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll do, it was all in the pursuit of money. And that's why he never parts with the donkey. In a matter of fact, there becomes like some type of story that alludes that he and the donkey are very intimate, i.e. he just can't. He can't get money and the drive for, you know, fulfilling his desires out of his system. It is what the Maharal draws as the parallels and the contrast, right, between Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. So with this, we can understand something else. You know, take this a step further of another lesson. Right, the question is frequently asked, right? Avraham Avinu, when he hears Sodom, is going to be taken off the map. So he asks Rachamim for Sodom. And he negotiates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he negotiates very, very fiercely. He even says, HaShofet Kol Ha'aretz L'Yaseh Mishpat. We must challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sense of justice, kivyachol, right? Then when he's told, and Sodom are Rishoyim, and he doesn't owe Sodom anything. And then when it comes to the Akedah, it's his own son, Yitzhak Avinu, right? And Yitzhak is a tzaddik, right? And not only that, he had a lot to taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Rashi says, he could have taina. You said, he had what to say, and he keeps quiet. You know, Dino Hachi, right? That for the Rishoyim, he'll speak up, and for his own son, he won't. What's the difference between this one and that one? So Rav Shiva Zichrono Livracha used to say, right, the difference is parshed, right? When you get a directive from God, you shut up and you do what you're told. Right? When you hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an asek with someone else, like asking someone else to do an akedah, yes, you as an oyev Yisrael or an oyev Esabrius should dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mevatel the gzera, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megalotim, he's going to take stone off the map. You, as a oyev Esabrius, have a moral responsibility to be mevakesh rachamim. Kayadua, Noach was criticized. The Mabbas called Kimei Noach, right, in the Navi, because he wasn't Mavakish Rachabim al Bnei Doro. You have a moral obligation if someone else is Bitzara, even if he's in Bitzara with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him sick. Chas v'sholom, right, as an Ernish HaShchatoim, you're Mavakish Rachabim. Of course, that's your moral obligation. But what's your moral obligation if you get a directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to do such and such? You don't ask questions. Avraham Avinu got a directive to Shech Yitzchak, a God-fearing Jew who's interested in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma, like we said yesterday, doesn't say why or please not. That is the crucial difference between what happened in Sodom and what happened by the Akedah. And as we said, right, only a person who's Oved Lishma, that is only interested in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu as its own goal, as its own truth, can actually, you know, live with that, that he's told to shecht his own son, he's not even mispalo to try to repeal the gzera. What do we find by Bilam? Just the opposite. He pulled out every trick in the book. Like Rashi says, he, you know, having Nevuah on par with Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew all the sedus of the Hashgacha, he knew all the secrets, all the guidelines that we explain in Chochmas HaKabbalah, that Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world in a certain systematic way that's nisparish in Chochmas HaKabbalah. You know, Bilam knew it all. As some of the principles are even in the Gemara, like, and Rashi says that Bilam implemented the principle of Baderach She'odam Rotzei Lelech Molichen also. So he kept on shepherding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I'm only going if you let me, but I really want to go. And subsequently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give him Rishus to go, says Rashi on his part, because he put into play the principle that the Hashgacha runs on, of Bederech Shalom Rotzech Molichen also. Right? And he was, as the Gemara tells us in Brachas, planning, you know, if he would get Rishus to curse, he was going to make use of something that he knew how to be Mechav and Shoiz, Yodea Das Elyon. Why? Because he knew how to zoom in on the exact moment, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. It's where it's a Shas Adin, that anyone who's cursed at that moment is toast. Right? He knew how to be Mechavin. Right? He wasn't planning to use that technology and that knowledge that he had, you know, to make money. Right? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Right? He didn't get angry during all those days that Bilam tried, and that's what the Navi says, Leman Das Tzidkos Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did you a special chesed, you know, when Balak employed Bilam, that during all those days, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not get angry. He broke HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke his own laws to teach you, right, that even if, right, you know all the secrets of the Hashgacha, there's no way you could ever work the system in your favor. You can't play the system against God himself. See, if these are the rules that he himself plays by, you can't outplay him. Even if push comes to shove, he'll change the rules, right, to teach you that he's even above the rules, even the spiritual rules that he's mounting with. Right? So a Jew doesn't even try, right? And a goy, and this is what gets back to what the Rashi that we learned yesterday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the goy, and what happens when you give a goy nevuah, he takes that knowledge to try to work the system. It's very apropos that we read Parshas Balak right before the 3 weeks, because Am Yisrael forgot this. Right? In the days of Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Medrash on Eicha says that the Navi Yirmiyahu came to the people of, you know, Bayis Rishon to say that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. They laughed at him. They said, we have it all figured out. They were very, very big in what we call Kabbalah Maasit. They knew the divine names that the angels are bound by. That, you know, if you know the divine names that each angel is under, there, you could push them around. I mean, they, by the way, they come back to get even. If, you know, it's why it's not advisable, right? Right. But, you know, if you know the shame that they're bound by, and they had it all figured out, you know, if the Rebosh is going to come destroy Yerushalayim with fire. They were going to be mashbia, the sar shomayim, to extinguish the fire. If he's going to flood Yerushalayim, then I don't know, they're going to be mashbia, the sar of esh, to evaporate the water. You know, Chassidim tell a story. The Koshin Tzur Magid was a big goyin and a very, very big mekubal. You know, his Sfarim on Kabbalah learned by all sectors of those who are Isaac in Kabbalah. And so Chassidim, even Chassidim tell this story, that a dibbuk once went into someone, and they brought him to the Koshnitzer to exercise the dibbuk, take the dibbuk out. And so the Koshnitzer starts, you know, being miyachid yichudim and doing, you know, these things that they do and saying the Shemus. And the dibbuk laughed at him. He said, Rebbe, you know who I am. I'm from Bayis Rishon. All this stuff that you're doing, I was able to do that and more before the age of 9. And even Hasidim say that the Koshnitzer was defeated. He could not forcibly remove. He had to make a deal with him. They'd be melamed tzchus and learn mishnayos from him, etc. He had to appease him, you know, to be willing to exit. You know, that was their level of proficiency in, you know, being mashbia the malachim and the sarei shomala. Things that, you know, we learn about in chokhmas hakabbalah that we only learn about what we're not supposed to do because we're not supposed to tamper with the cosmic balance. But a guy like Bilam who learns this type of stuff, you know, that's what he uses it for. And that's what the people of Bayis Rishon thought. That was their cheshbon. And that's why they thought they don't have to do tshuva to avoid the gzeira. They figured that they know, you know, enough of how to reroute the heavenly assembly, you know, that if the Yerushalayim will be destroyed in a certain way, there's always a countermeasure. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do on the day of the Churban, says the Medrash? He switched around all the angels. He had them switch posts. Right, the Sar Shel Mayim, you know, was now the Sar Shel Esh for that day, and the Sar Shel Esh was the Sar of Mayim that day. So when the fire started in the base of Mikdash, so they appealed to the Mashbia, the Sar HaMayim, right, to put out the fire. But the Sar HaMayim of that day was the Sar Shel Esh, right, and the fire got even hotter. Lodia v'livada, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, even though he set up laws and he's manigal pi these laws and he was megala these laws to us, so we should have an appreciation of him. That's part of the godless habari that he revealed the secrets of the Hashgacha, but there is no playing with those tools against him. He can't outsmart him, right? So a real Jew doesn't even try tefillah, right, which is perfectly legit. So Avraham Avinu got a tzivu to take Yitzhak to the Akedah. Lomi Bayit didn't try Hashbos, but he didn't even try Tefillah, which is perfectly legit. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Rav Loch Al Tosef, so he stopped davening. You do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Yid does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, right? And if not, and if you try to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kalim against him, try to use his own rules against him, he will show you, and he will prove to you that even the rules that he set up, even the spiritual rules, everything that we talk about, the Sfiris and the Olamas and the Shemus and the whole Marechet of what's Kofuf to which shame, he could change that in a second. So as there is no recourse other to be Ovid him, B'tmimus, or B'leiv Shalom, and when you do wrong, just to do Tshuva.